Morning, everybody, and welcome to Alive. We're so glad to have each and every one of you guys joining us here this morning. And, you know, a lot of exciting things going on. We're celebrating 8 years as a church family, as a church, which happy birthday to you. Everyone's saying happy birthday to me. It's not my birthday. It's not our birthday. Guess what? The church isn't a building. It's the people. Amen. So happy birthday to you. All right. And because it's your birthday, we've got cake and ice cream on your way out today. Amen. Breakfast of Champions. But hey, I'm excited to be up here. We are wrapping up. We're in our fourth and final week of our Where Are You series, where we've been taking each week and looking at and unpacking a different question that God asks in the Bible to humanity and looking at the life-changing nature of that question when we get honest about that and the answers to that question in our own life as it helps us in our own spiritual journey. And in case you haven't joined us or this is the first time visiting, we want to say welcome and also just want to get you back up to speed where we've been. You haven't had a need to be at any of the other sermons and messages to understand what's going to happen today, but we've been on quite a journey this month. It's been a really one of my favorite series I've actually had to study and teach. And week one, we looked at the first question that God ever asked mankind in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "Where are you?" And then week two, we looked at two questions. Where have you come from? And where are you going? As God asked an Egyptian slave servant named Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. And then last weekend, we dove into the question, what are you doing here, right? As God asked Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 as he's hiding out in a cave and wishing death upon himself. If you missed any of these messages, I just encourage you, you can go back and watch those, listen to those on the archive. I believe they will be so helpful and so beneficial to you as you try to locate where you find yourself spiritually in this season and how to grow in your relationship with God. But this week, we're going to tackle our last and final question, deep question together, which will all help us in all of our journeys of faith today. And if you guys are note takers, this is also the question and the title of my message this morning. It's just simply, what is your name? What is your name? We'll see in a moment that God asked this question to a man by the name of Jacob in the Old Testament. And this question helps Jacob connect with his true God-given identity and purpose and walk into all that God has for him. And I believe that God wants to do the same for you and I this morning as we connect with our true nature, our true identity, not just a name and as a namesake, but as a deeper call to the purpose and plan that God has for us. And so before we dive into God's word, would you join me for a word of prayer real quick as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from his word this morning? Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're just so grateful and thankful for your presence here with us. You have been so faithful. We have so much to celebrate and thank you for your faithfulness. But Lord, I know that you're not done working in each and every one of our hearts and our lives. We're here on purpose for a purpose. You knew that we'd be in this room this morning or listening or tuning in online. And so, Father God, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that would help me communicate your word to your people. Father God, we thank you that he searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Father, we praise you and we thank you for open hearts and open minds this morning, Lord God. May you lead us and guide us into that good plan and future that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you that names are being changed spiritually today. And Lord God, we receive it in advance by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Well, hey, if you brought your Bibles or you turn your Bible on, you do that on your phone, go on over to Genesis chapter 32, because that's where we're going to be hanging out for this morning. That will be where our key text is at, Genesis chapter 32. While you're turning there or getting that set up, I just want to give you guys a little context of where we might find ourselves in Scripture this morning, what's been going on before we get to Genesis chapter 32. This is where we're introduced in this section of Scripture in Genesis to a character by the name of Jacob. A man by the name of Jacob. And if you go a couple chapters before 32, we're first introduced to Jacob in Genesis chapter 25. And literally, he's grabbing the heel of his twin brother Esau as they are being born, right? So he's a twin. And Jacob's life, if you know anything about the story of Jacob, his life is marked by struggle. He literally lives out the meaning of his name in that context, in that time, which meant supplanter and deceiver and heel grabber. He literally walks each and every day in that nature. He tricks his brother Esau for his birthright, for a bowl of stew, if you guys remember that. And then he even swindles his own dad, Isaac, to bless him with the firstborn blessing instead of his brother Esau. obviously that causes a lot of family tension and dynamic. And so that caused Jacob to run very far away from his brother and his family because they weren't too happy about that. And so he spends 20 years in Haran. And he starts working for his uncle and then becomes then the father-in-law, Laban. And even his own nature backfires on him. How many of you guys know you reap what you sow, right? And so Laban tricks him, and he actually ends up marrying Leah first instead of Rachel. And so now he's got two wives. That's a whole nother sermon. That's a problem, right? We won't talk about that today. And eventually God comes to Jacob and says, you got to get back to Canaan. You got to get back to your father's land. Go on back. And on his way back, he learns that his brother Esau is on his way to meet him with 400 men. And as you can imagine, knowing how the last time they had met and the interesting dynamic around that, Jacob began to be very fearful and worried for his life, rightfully so. And so on the night right before Jacob is going to meet his brother Esau, Jacob prays for deliverance. He sends his family and possessions across the Jabbok River. He even sends gifts ahead, droves of gifts and livestock for Esau to try to soften the blow there. And hey, bro, how you doing? Take this as my gift to you. And you can just see, we're going to see in a second here, he is left alone. Jacob is stripped and alone of everything that he ever leaned on, his family, his wealth, and his schemes. And this is where we pick up, and something really, really interesting happens on this night right before he meets Esau. And we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. We're going to look at verse 24 through 31, just a few verses for you guys. I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll dive into it. It said, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said to him, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for I have struggled with God, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. And so there is so much that we could take away from this short passage and story in Scripture, but for the remainder of our time today, I just want to highlight a few things that I believe will bless you and minister to you and also help you connect with what's going on here in the Word of God. So if you're taking notes, the first thing is this. Number one, God meets us in our struggle. God meets you and I in our struggle. Let's look at it real quick again. Genesis 32, 24 through 26. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man, ever say man, capital M, man, in Scripture. A man wrestled with him until breaking of day. Now he saw that he did not prevail against him, and he touched the socket of his hip. The socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he, everyone say he, capital H, he, wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So who does Jacob wrestle with here in this passage of Scripture? We've got this capital M, man, and we've got this capital H, he, that he's wrestling with. Now, if you do a little deeper dive in this, many Bible scholars believe that this man that Jacob wrestled with was actually God in human form. It's what theologians call a theophany, where God shows up in Scripture in a human form, in the form of an angel or a man. If you look at what Jacob even says about the situation a few verses later in verse 30 of Genesis 32, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and he said, for I have seen who? God face to face, and my life has been preserved. The prophet Hosea, many years before this, prophesied in Hosea chapter 12, verses 4 and 5 about this instance with Jacob. He said, yes, he struggled with the angel, capital A angel, and prevailed, and he wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. Verse 5, that is who? The Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorable name. So I believe in my heart, my spirit, as we study the Scripture, Jacob wrestled with God. Can you imagine this scenario? Like I'm studying this week and I'm like, this is crazy. This is like, ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, you have the supplanter, deceiver, heel grabber, swindler, Jacob. And in the other corner, you've got the Alpha and Omega, the Omniscient, the Omnipotent, the Omnipresent, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Give it up for the Lord God Almighty. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get ready to rumble. Right? I'm like Jock Jams Volume 2 is coming on from the 90s. I'm just like ready to go. And then the Lord's like, stay focused. You have to bring a word for the people. I'm like, yes, yes, that's right. What was I doing? Studying scripture. Yes. Does anybody else's mind work like that? Because mine is always like that. It's like, squirrel. But on a more serious note, like, there is so much significance in this wrestling match that's going on here. Like, Jacob had struggled and wrestled with God his whole life up until this point, always trying to secure God's blessing, but in Jacob's way. Right? And I think a lot of times we can relate with that. We all want God's blessing, but we want to do it in our way, our timeline, our timetable, how we want the blessing, how much of the blessing we want, what we think we deserve, what we're entitled to, right? This has never worked for Jacob. It got him in much trouble. And on the eve of Jacob about to face his brother Esau again, with potentially pending death or severe retaliation from his brother Esau and the 400 soldiers that are with him, God shows up. In human form, God meets with Jacob in the midst of his struggle. I love this because this shows the character and nature and the heart of God, that God cares so much about us, about you and I, that he wants to walk with us even in the most intense struggles in our life. And his blessings and his promises are there for us. He's willing to wrestle with us until we experience nothing but his very best. He's willing to wrestle with us. So we see in scripture, it wasn't like, boom, I thought this is a no contest, right? Like God in this corner, ding, 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 the bell rings and he's done, right? But like Jacob has some wrestle in him. He goes the full rounds with God, right? So much so that God has to touch his hip and kind of put it out there a little bit and let Jacob walk with a limp. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I just want to let you know, I win. I always win. God has never lost a battle, right? Like, I'm not losing this one today, right? This will ruin the whole word of God here if Jacob dominates and body slams God Almighty, right? So that couldn't happen. So he goes a final round with him, and God's working out of him his pride and his striving and his old ways of lying and deceiving and swindling. And he walks away with the limp, and we'll dive into more of this in just a minute. But can we talk about this concept of wrestling with God for just a minute? I think we all struggle at times, and I think we all, maybe if we're honest, have wrestled with God, so to speak, not physically, but maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally, we've wrestled with God in some areas and seasons of our life. Maybe you've wrestled with God over a big decision. Should we stay or should we move? Should I take this job or stay here and just stay put, right? Should we try for that other kid or should we be done? Some of you are like, we should be done. Praise God. I was talking to you in the lobby. Praise God. What kind of school, right? Private school and public school or charter school or home school or no school? Is that an option? I don't know. No, they need to go to school. Praise God. How should we handle this relationship that we're in? God, big decisions. We've wrestled with some things where we weren't sure. Maybe you've wrestled with your faith. Maybe you've wrestled about the even belief that God is really real, that this Bible is really something that we can live our life by. Maybe you've wrestled with, is God really good? And does he really have good plans for us? This tension between what you believe and then the doubt and the uncertainty. We've wrestled with God before in different things. Maybe you've wrestled with grief and loss in your life. You've lost a loved one or a close friend, and it's just, God, why? Those why God moments, right? Or a relationship or a future that you envision is no longer able to be obtained, or you feel like you've lost that or lost something. Something's been taken from you. So you're grieving that and you're wrestling with God about it. Maybe you've even wrestled with God in the area of unanswered prayers. Let's just be honest. God, I know your word says this. I'm standing on this. I'm praying this. But why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't that family member come back to the Lord? Why hasn't that situation changed? Right? Why is it taking so long? God, why are you silent? Where are you, God? Right? We wrestle at times in our faith walk, in our relationship with God. His will versus our will. His plans versus our plans. His timing versus our timing. Wrestling with God. And just like Jacob, wrestling is part of our spiritual journeys. You know, I've wrestled with God many times personally in my own life over so many things, wrestling with God's plan and calling for my life, wrestling with different theological things and doctrine, wrestling with pride and sin in my life, wrestling with relationship issues and finances and unexpected outcomes that I didn't see coming or curveballs that life has thrown. We've all wrestled with God. And as I've been reflecting this weekend, there's one that kind of hits home more than ever. And it's so appropriate on a day like today. It's simply the one of the seasons where I feel like Eric and I have wrestled with God the most was simply in the decision to plant a Live Family Church. You know, today we celebrate 8 years of God's faithfulness, but there's some serious wrestling behind all of that that a lot of times people don't understand or don't see. And I can still remember it like it was yesterday. It was 8.5 years ago. Church is eight. Church started before the church started. You know what I'm saying? God gives you, he gets you pregnant with a vision. He gets you pregnant with a plan. God gets you pregnant with passion for a community, for a city, for a region, more before you ever have your first service. And I can just remember a season 8.5 years ago of intense prayer and fasting and just crying out to God, God, are you really calling us to leave our comfort zone here in Kalamazoo, Michigan and move back to Brighton and plant Alive? Because if God wasn't backing it 100%, we were not going to go. We were not coming. And I just remember the intense wrestling with God, like, God, are we truly called to be lead pastors, or are we just supposed to be the ministry of helps and continue to support? Because we were doing really good and we were loving what we were doing at our other church and things were great and comfortable and man, life was so good. Are you really calling us, Lord? I remember wrestling with the fact that are we really going to get up and leave 8 years of building community, friendships, relationship, and church family to go start all over again with nobody that we knew? Are we really going to do that? I remember wrestling with all the unknowns. How is this going to work? I get this question all the time when people find out I'm a pastor and we planted a church. So how did you start that? I go, exactly. But God. Who are we going to build with? Who's going to be on board to start this, right? Who's going to have faith in a vision that something that doesn't exist yet, right? How are we going to provide for our family and our children, right? How is this all going to work? Who's going to lead worship, right? Who's going to set up and tear down, right? How are we going to do this? How are we going to ever have enough finances and the equipment to actually turn a middle school into a decently, aesthetically pleasing, smelling place that people want to come every Sunday to worship Jesus? I don't know how many times we felt like it, maybe even verbally or typed, I'll start attending when you're a real church. Well, is the church a building or is the church the people? That one hurt. Wrestling with God. But I tell you what, out of one of the most hardest wrestling seasons of our life comes one of the most blessed and fruitful seasons of our life. Oftentimes the wrestling isn't just for the purpose of wrestling, it's for getting to know what God really has for us, to understand and have his blessing on our life, on our plan. It's not our plans, it's his plans. And I'll tell you what, man, through the wrestling with God, he confirmed his call. And he said, no, you are going to go. He made it very, very clear from scripture and word and confirmations. He said, no, I am going to provide for you. And supernaturally, as Erica mentioned at the beginning of service, 34 adults and 17 kids said, let's do this thing. Let's build what Jesus is already building and let's reach some more people and take this middle school and turn it into a church. And then I think one of the things I forgot to share was one of the hardest elements of all of this. We're a Live Family Church. Everyone say family. Family is really important to us. One of the things that we had to wrestle with the most, that we had many conversations and even shouting matches with the Lord, was, don't you dare call us to leave comfort zone and plant this church and mess our kids' faith up. We see too many PKs that go off the rails, despise the church, hate God, are the furthest things away from a believer in Jesus. Is that we will do anything else if we can be guaranteed that our kids will love Jesus and his church. We knew the risk and the vulnerability of stepping out to have a big target on our back and our family's back. I'll tell you what, the verdict's still out, obviously, but we've got 3 kids that are growing up. They love Jesus, and they love the church, and they love God, and they love you. And I'll tell you what, I don't care about how many services or how big we are, all that. My first ministry is my family. If I mess that up, I mess everything up. And so I'm super grateful. God has been so faithful. And I just want to tell you, I share that heart just not to be like, look at us, we're awesome. No, because wrestling, a season of wrestling might not make sense in the moment, but sometimes God's got to wrestle something out of us, and sometimes he's got to wrestle something into us in those moments of encounter with him. We would not be celebrating today without wrestling. Amen. All the life change. Oh my gosh, I'm looking out. I'm just so blessed to see all your faces coming into church. So excited. We got the kid expansion. They just let me know the kids' rooms are already full. Wow, my gosh, that's incredible. You make room, they'll come, I guess, right? It's amazing. All of the life change, every family and individual that God has added to the body along the way, the 762 people that have said yes to Jesus over the last 8 years and now get to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus when they leave this earth. Come on, somebody. All the people that went public with their faith through water baptism, all the spiritual growth, all the discipleship. God is doing a work, and I know he's not done yet. Amen? But may we come to know through Jacob's example and even our personal examples. Don't leave without this today, guys. That God often does his deepest work in the dark nights of wrestling. God often does his deepest work in those seasons of just wrestling with him and getting his heart and his plan and his will and his word in our hearts. So if you're struggling tonight, today and this morning, I just want you to be encouraged. Know that God isn't running away from you. He's running towards you in your struggle. He's not scared of the mess you might find yourself in. He is running towards you and wants to help. If you've got questions, if you've got doubts, if you've got insecurities, if you've got fears, God is wrestling with you, and he will help you wrestle those things until it makes sense to you. If you're experiencing some deep pain or maybe some despair over something, know that God sees you. He knows you're there, and he's running to you, and he'll wrestle with that pain and that despair until your heart is completely and fully healed. No matter how long it takes, no matter how many seasons you have to go through, he's a restorer, and he's a builder, and he'll be there with you. If you're caught up in sin right now, if you're missing the mark in some area of life, know that God will wrestle with you until it's out of your life. He will not give up on you. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you, to set you free from that, and he wants nothing best but God's very best for your life. And maybe you're here like, I'm doing good, Pastor. Me and God are in a great spot right now, and that's beautiful, and that's awesome, and I just want to say, hey, there's more for you. I believe that God will even wrestle you in that comfortable, I'm good, blessed season and show you some new things to come, to get you to up on that hill and say, look to the west and the east and the north and the south. See this land that has yet been conquered for Jesus. I'm calling you to go there. Amen? He will stir in you through wrestling. We're going to see that if God often meets us in our struggles to reshape us and rename us for his purposes. But just know this, he's there in the struggle. The second thing I believe we should lean into today from Jacob's story is this, that God invites us to face our reality. God invites you and I to face our reality. Let's look at this big question that God asked Jacob again. Genesis chapter 32, verse 27. So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Now that seems like a really simple Bible verse that we often skim through, but there's so much depth to this verse as we study this out. Remember, God is omniscient. What does that mean? It means he knows all things. He already knew that Jacob's name was Jacob. And just like all the questions we've looked at in this series this month, God isn't asking Jacob this question for information. He's asking this question to Jacob as an invitation. Just like he asked this question to you and I as an invitation to discover and explore the deeper meaning of what he's asking us. By asking Jacob, "What is your name?" God was inviting Jacob to face who he's been. Not just a name, but his patterns, his reputation, what he has done, his past. He's calling Jacob to face reality. He invites Jacob to be honest about who he has been up until that point, to locate himself and tell the truth about himself. What God is doing here in asking Jacob, "What's your name?" He's essentially saying, will you admit to who you've been? Will you confess the truth of your identity up until now? You almost hear it, this tone. It's almost as if God is saying, admit who you are before I transform you. Admit who you are before I transform you. God invites him, and he invites us onto this opportunity and journey of confession before transformation. Confession before transformation. How many of you guys know we serve a God who wants to transform us, redeem us, set us free, and that is his will, amen? But a lot of times we jump over a biblical step of just being real and telling the truth and confessing. A lot of us don't like that word, confess. I don't want to confess. I'm good. I got nothing wrong with me. God's like, I see your whole heart. And I know there's parts of it that are not loyal and obedient to me. So I am already setting you free. I've already done everything I'm going to do, but I need you to agree with me. What does the word confession mean? It means to agree with God, to say what God is saying about it. That this area of my life, this sin, this addiction, this bondage that I'm in, this impure thought, this unaligned mind to the word of God is not according to God's plan. And so I'm going to call it what it is so that I can be transformed. Right? When Jacob says, my name is Jacob, it's actually an act of confession. He's owning up. I'm Jacob. Hey, God, I am the deceiver. I am the supplanter. I am the trickster. I am the manipulator. I'm the heel grabber. And I'm the one that's always trying to wrestle with you for your plan, but to do it in my way. He's colliding with the truth that this healing begins with honesty. Did you know that healing, true heart healing, begins with honesty? And this is true for us too. I want to go over to James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins. Everyone say confess. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins. Be honest where you've missed the mark. This shouldn't be as hard as we make it as Christians. He says that call it what it is. The pain that you've caused, the areas where you've not always honored me, just confess your sin. And guess what I promise to do for you? To heal you. I want to heal you fully. God is a healer. Healing begins with honesty. You know, you can step outside the church and look at just natural groups like 12 Steps or AA, and you guys might be familiar with some of these things. How do they start every meeting? They say, hi, my name is whatever, and I'm struggling with fill in the blank. It's an honest confession of where they missed it. Simple, yet powerful and life-changing for a lot of people to actually just own where they've missed it so that God can actually come in and transform them. Amen? Confession before transformation. It's important to realize that forgiveness begins with Jesus. Let's not get this twisted. But healing, true heart healing, begins with honesty, right? I know so many people, so many Christians that walk around and you are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and what he did for you, but you're still not fully healed. You're not healed because you have not confessed. And I think a lot of times when we approach this topic, it's actually the Christians that have the hardest time with this, not the worldly people that have a hard time with it. Like we can immediately jump to scriptures like this one, Philippians 3, 13 through 14, where Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe in every word that Paul spoke there, but there's some context behind that. How easily can you and I as believers can spiritually bypass the confession step to just say, well, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, so I don't need to confess this. I don't need to tell anybody. I'm going to keep this sin secret. I'm going to keep it hidden. I'm going to let this keep bearing root in my life, yet on the outside, I look all shiny and Christian to everybody else, but on the inside, I am not healthy and whole. Healing begins with honesty. Healing is happening when we are honest, right? To not say anything about it. Man, I don't get me wrong. We don't camp out in our past sin. Jesus took care of that. Amen? We're not called to build a house there and remain in there. And God's saying, he doesn't keep Jacob there. He doesn't say, you're Jacob. All right, yes, that's it. And then the story ends. No, we're going to get to the last part in point three. He doesn't leave him hanging and say, yep, you are. That's who you are. So stay there. Feel bad about it. Feel sorry for yourself. Be a victim. That's not what we see in the word of God. He just asked and invites Jacob to be honest with himself of what is your name? What have you been? What kind of person have you been up until this point in your life? Because I'm about to bless you and change that. But I need you to get on board and acknowledge the fact that you might not have hit the mark every time. It's okay to be not okay sometimes for a moment. Amen? But here's what I've learned in my short journey of serving Jesus. If you want to forget your past, you first have to face it. If you want to do what Paul said in Philippians, to forget the past and press forward, we do have to face it. We don't need to live in it, pet it, make it grow, feel sorry for it, make it part of our life and always bring it with us. But we need to face it. We need to face reality. When you stop wrestling against it, when you start facing and telling the truth about it, when you're true to yourself and that's where true healing can begin. And so maybe for you today, what are you facing here? What truth do you need? What reality do you need to come to terms with and just face? And just be like, Lord, gosh, I'm not doing good in this area. I used to, but like I actually have slipped back in to fill in the blank. And it is not honoring to you. And it's not getting me where I need to be spiritually. What is that thing, right? Maybe it's a relationship with others. Maybe it's your relationship with God. What has gotten you to the place you're at financially, right? Maybe your career and calling. Where do you find yourself? God, where am I at? I need to face reality. Where do you still need healing in your life? Maybe it's your self-worth or your self-image. Maybe it's your purity. Maybe it's your integrity, right? Maybe it's obedience to God's word. Tell the truth about it. Take responsibility. Confess it to somebody else. And God says, I will heal you. Amen? And so confession of the old self precedes the gift of the new identity, which leads me to my third and final point. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us in our past? Come on, there's a progression here with the Lord. Step three, number three, God gives us a new name and identity. I love this. Only when Jacob confesses the truth about his past and who he's been can he receive the new identity rooted in God's blessing rather than his own scheming. When he confesses, this moment of honesty becomes a turning point for transformation in Jacob's life. Immediately after he says, my name is Jacob, and calls it what it is. He is renamed, and God gives him a new name, Israel. Israel means one who wrestles with God. It means God prevails, and in some translations, and in my Bible, in the center line, it says, Prince with God. So you're going to be, I'm going to take you from deceiver, supplanter, swindler, to Prince with God. Look at it, Genesis 32, 28 through 29, he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he said, he blessed him there. God wants to bless you. God wants to change your name. God wants to change your identity. I love this. It's such a powerful moment for Jacob. He confesses. He owns up to it. He takes responsibility for being who he had been up until that point. And after wrestling with God all night and facing reality and understanding what he's been, God gives him a new name and a new identity. No longer shall you be Jacob. No longer shall you deceive, but you shall be Prince with me, God says. He gives him a new name. He gives him a new identity. And what does God do? He blesses him. There is blessing on the other side of your confessing. I think for some Christians, we need to understand, if we want the blessing, we better start confessing. Because we cannot pretend with God. He sees all. He sees every part of our heart. And how many of you guys know God's in the business of changing names? This is like his deal, right? Abram, exalted father to Abraham, the father of many nations. Descendants as numerous as the sand in the stars. He takes Sarai, who's like my princess, like a personal princess, and turns her into Sarah, which is basically the matriarch of the nations. Talk about an upgrade. Right, even us in the New Testament, we know a guy named Simon who's an unfiltered, uninhibited fisherman. Love Peter. Simon Peter, yeah. So you guys know Peter. He was Simon. God changes his name to Peter, which means rock. Little shaky and unstable and unreserved to, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. Not on Peter himself, but you're going to be a part of what I'm building. I have stability in me, God says. God isn't limited by our past. God isn't limited by your personality. God sees not just who you are, but who you could be and who you shall be, right? He doesn't see just the pain, but he sees your potential and he sees the beautiful promise that he has for you in the future. I feel like somebody here needs to hear this. As I was praying this morning, God said, tell them this, remind them this. You might have did bad, but you aren't bad. I don't know who this is for today. You might have done some bad things, but you aren't bad. God has good plans for you. God has a new name for you. God has a bright future for you. You might have messed up like we all have in sin and blown it, but you aren't inherently bad. God has a good plan for you. The things you've done to yourself, to other people, to situations might have been atrocious and bad and not God honoring, but that doesn't make you bad with a stamp and seal that says you're bad forever. God wants to lift you up out of that pit. He wants to put you on higher ground. He wants to establish your feet upon the rock of Jesus and pull you up out of that miry clay, as the psalmist said. And he's got a new song for you. He's got a new name. He's got a new identity. He's got a new way of living. He's got a new way of speaking. He's got a new way of thinking. He's got a new way of parenting. He's got a new way of doing everything in life when you let him. And when God changes our name, it isn't just a change of description. It's a change of destiny. Can I preach the word of God to you for just a second? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation or new creature, as other translations say. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. God calls us his child. He brings us into the family of God. And then Galatians 2:20, Emma had it in her baptism thing. You were preaching my message for me, sweetheart. That's you. Galatians 2:20, that was in my message this morning too. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Such a promise. Talk about new identity. Talk about a new future. Talk about a new hope. Talk about how God can take messed up, jacked up situations and rewrite the story. Come on. If you're dwelling in a mess right now, God might want to enter in, wrestle with that, and make that a masterpiece. He may not be done with that yet. You gotta let him have it. You gotta let him have you. You gotta say, hey, pin me, right? Me and my younger brother, Matt, we would wrestle. You wrestle until it's over, until somebody calls uncle, or you pin him, right? Some of us, you see, gotta go, boom, say uncle. And that'll heal you, right? But some of us are so stubborn, and we're like, oh, no, I'm gonna fight God, right? It's like, he's like, just chill out, bro. I could go poof, and you're done. It's not... Talk about a promise. So I just want to encourage you, like, what labels or what names have you allowed the enemy to put on you that cannot continue from this day forward? Maybe it's failure to forgiven. Maybe it's loser to loved. Maybe it's addict to free. Maybe it's victim to conqueror. Maybe it's defiled to pure. Maybe it's shame to unashamed. Maybe it's anxiety to peace. Maybe it's outcast to friend of God. Maybe it's sinner to saint. Maybe it's I can't, but guess who can? God can, somebody. What name do you need to leave at the door today as you go smash some sugar on your way out today? And what name do you need to pick up because God gives it to you? Because here's what I love. This cool quote I saw as I was studying this week, Max Lucado, he said, the truest thing about you is not what others call you, but what God calls you. I was like, yeah, that's it right there. We need to stop listening to the haters, the enemy, the naysayers, and we need to start activating the name that God has for us. No longer Jacob, but Israel. I believe God has taken some Jacob spiritually today, and he's showing us the way to become Israel. To walk with God, prince with God. Guys, remember, we don't wrestle with God to see who's stronger because we already know who wins that battle. We wrestle with God because we want the blessing of God in our lives. We won't settle unless God's blessing is in our life. We wrestle with God because we want him to give us a new name. and we wrestle with God so that we can have a new identity in Him. It's time for somebody or somebodies to say goodbye to yesterday and start dancing on the grave that you once lived in. Does that make sense? We were singing that a few moments ago. Goodbye yesterday. Some of you need to leave yesterday, the old way of doing things, the old way of operating, your old operating system, and start literally dancing on the grave that you used to be living in. But because God in His great mercy, God in His love, God in His blessing has pulled you out of that grave, risen you with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and start dancing on that grave because you are no longer that person anymore by the power of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And so how do we do that? We just simply know this. Number one, God is with you in your struggle and your wrestling. If you're wrestling right now, you might be in a really good place, but quit trying to win. Just learn how to say uncle and surrender and let God do His thing. Maybe you're here and you just needed to remind yourself that, man, I need to face reality. I need to be honest. I need to be a person, a man, a woman of God who confesses before transformation, so that God can literally heal me. Yes, you're forgiven and free by the blood of Jesus, but are you wounded and carrying that around and bless God, highly favored? But your soul does not feel blessed, God, and highly favored? Confess. Allow God to heal and then leave it behind. You'll be stronger. You'll be better. Be more in tune with Him. And then lastly, God wants to give you a new name and a new identity. So quit going back to those old labels, those old scripts, those old names. It's time to leave that behind and begin to walk in the newness and the freshness that the Lord has for us. Church, would you pray with me as we ask God to touch our hearts and just change us in these ways this morning? Father God, we love you so much, and we're so grateful and thankful for your presence here with us today. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, that it's truth and it aligns us to your best for our lives. Father, we desire to have your blessing in our lives, in every area of our life, Lord God. And Lord, we will not be satisfied until we experience that. And so, Father, as we wrestle with you, help us surrender. Help us yield to your ways, your timing, your plan. Whatever is in us that doesn't belong, wrestle it out of us. And whatever you want to put into us, put it in as we wrestle and honor and worship you. Father God, I thank you that we can be true and honest and transparent with you, that we can come and face reality. Where are things right now in our relationship? Where are things in our relationship with you? Where are things in all of these areas of our life? And just confess those and share that with somebody and be prayed for and be healed. Father God, I thank you for healing hearts through honesty, Lord God, in this process. You're quickening to our spirit and our heart what needs to be shared and who needs it needs to be shared with, Father. Just thank you for the courage and boldness to do that. And lastly, Lord, I thank you that you don't leave us in our shame. You don't leave us in our sin. You don't leave us in our past. You don't leave us in our despair and brokenness, but you're calling us out into a new name and a new identity. And so, Father, do a new thing in us. Help us be that new creation that we are in you, Lord God. Help us never look back. Help us continue to run forward into the high call of God on our lives, Father God. I thank you as we are honest and real this whole month to the question that you're speaking to all of our hearts. Where are you? Father, that we don't have to be afraid of that question anymore. But we have the tools equipped us to answer that honestly, to allow your blessing in our life, and then move forward in a freshness and newness with you spiritually. Father, I thank you for taking spiritual Jacobs and transforming us by the power of Jesus into Israels today. I thank you for hearts coming alive. I thank you for lives being changed. I thank you for marriages being healed, Lord God. I thank you for sick bodies being healed, Lord God. I thank you for wounds of the past being bottled up and shipped off, Father God. I thank you so much for your healing hand and your healing power here this morning. Father, we surrender to you. We love you, and we thank you for your power and your courage to face all of this and walk with you into healthier days. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody greets that. Amen.